Returning God's Word this morning to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. I'm going to be returning this morning to a series that I started at the early time of my pastorate here at Unity. I did a few sermons on Proverbs for parenting, and I'd like to do some more. There are many children that are expected in the coming months, and so I thought it'd be good to have a series, and I thought it'd be good to return as well to the book of Proverbs and the good instruction that is found here for parents and then for children as well. So this morning we return to that. And the text will be verses 7 through 9 of Proverbs 1. We're going to read the first 19 verses of the chapter. This is the word of God. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text is verses 7 through 9. We read there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word that addresses all aspects of life, including parenting. And we are thankful that Thou hast given a book of the Bible especially to be an encouragement to parents in the high calling that they are given to instruct another generation in truth and in the fear of thy name. We pray that the sermon this morning and this series of sermons would be encouragement to parents in the church, and not just to parents, but to all of us, as we all have a calling and responsibility to see that the coming generations are trained and brought up in the truth of thy word. So use this word to encourage us and strengthen us in a right, godly parenting that is focused on the right things. Give strength to thy servant as he brings this word to us, and open our hearts to receive it, and give us the ability to apply it and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Within the book of Proverbs, we find wisdom. We find wisdom. And so one of the ways, of course, that we use the book of Proverbs, and rightly so, is that we look at individual verses and see the wisdom of God that is found in them for the way in which we live our lives. And there's so much in the book of Proverbs that leads us in a very practical way in the way of wisdom. But another way to look at the book of Proverbs is that in the book of Proverbs, in much of it, you have a father sitting down with his son and instructing him. Or in other words, what we have in the book of Proverbs is Holy Spirit-inspired parenting. We're allowed to listen in on Solomon teaching his son in the way of wisdom. So it's not just a book for wisdom generally. It is that, but it's not just that. It's also a book that we study when we want to understand how we are to parent our children and raise a coming generation in the church in the fear of God's name. Now, even though the book of Proverbs is extremely practical, that does not mean it is not Christ-centered. Every book of the Bible is Christ-centered and Christ-focused, and we know that every sermon ought to be Christ-centered and cross-focused. And so we see that in the book of Proverbs, Christ is found here too. That's evident especially when we come to Proverbs 8, where wisdom is personified. What that means is that wisdom is spoken of as a person. And then we learn from Proverbs 8 that wisdom itself is Jesus Christ. Or in other words, Jesus Christ is wisdom. And that means all of the wisdom that is found in Proverbs for us as parents and for our children is all focused and centered on Jesus Christ himself. Now today, we're going to begin with the big picture of parenting. But what I would like to do in the coming sermons in this series when we have baptism again is come back to some of the very specific areas that Solomon addresses with his son, like work and anger and the fear of man and so many other sex and so many other things as well. We're going to look at those specifics, but today we want to see the big picture. Because in the passage that we look at today, as it's at the very beginning of this book, Solomon sets before us some of the basics of godly, covenant, Christian parenting. And he points out, first of all, the relationship that we have with our children. He calls his son, my son, and then says that the son is to follow what he says. Hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. So we want to learn about that relationship between parents and their children from a biblical perspective. But the second thing is he tells us what the goal and the main thing is in our parenting, and that is the fear of God. So that's what we want to consider today. We look at Proverbs for parenting, the big picture. We notice, first of all, the relationships, secondly, the goal, and then finally, the blessing. Looking at the text, Solomon begins verse 8 saying, my son. And as you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll hear Solomon saying that over and over again. He's addressing his son. And then in verse 8 specifically, he says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The question arises, what gives Solomon the right to say that? To say to his son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. As Solomon is addressing his son, what's the perspective that he has of his relationship with his son? And what we want to see and understand is that really you can narrow that down to two things. When he says, my son, is he thinking, this son is mine and I own him, and because I own him and he's mine, he must listen to everything that I say? Is he looking at his son from that ownership perspective? Or Is he looking at him more from a stewardship perspective? This son belongs to God, and now he's been given to me for a time, and I have to instruct him and teach him. Now, of course, when I put it that way, we all understand what the answer is. Solomon's not looking at his son from an ownership perspective. That's not what he means when he says, my son, but instead from a stewardship and really ambassador perspective, as we will see. So the first thing we want to see and understand then this morning is this: the relationship of parents to children within the church is not one of ownership. What do I mean when I say ownership? Well, the perspective that goes something like this: these children belong to me. I know what is best for them. Therefore, I can parent them in the way that I think is best. Now, I would dare say that none of us would be so blatant as to say something like this. We know that our children are gifts from God. We know the source of children. We know who gives them to us. We know as well the truth of the covenant and what it means that children are adopted into a bigger family, the family of God. But yet the reality is that we can struggle at times with this ownership mentality when it comes to our children. That can happen in the small moments of our lives. When in the small moments of our parenting, we focus on behavior modification in their lives for our own ease and comfort. In other words, we face the question sometimes, how do I get this child to do what I want him or her to do? And that becomes the sole focus in that moment or in that time. And then what happens is we can give into that ownership mentality when it comes to our children. Just think about it in real life situations. Teaching maybe little Johnny to sit in church. Or little Susie's throwing a fit in the Meijer parking lot, or throwing a fit in the store itself because mom won't buy that donut or that cookie or that candy that she wants. Or it's time to go. You're at grandpa and grandma's house, and it's time to go home, pick up the toys, and they won't pick up the toys because they don't want to go. And what do we do in those moments? Or it's the end of the summer, and maybe some of you moms know what this is like. A couple of the kids are fighting again. You had just talked to them 5 minutes before about getting along, and they said their apologies, and they forgave each other. And then you sit down to do whatever it was that you were doing before, and they're right back at it for the umpteenth time in that day. And by that time, you're at the end of the rope, and you've had it, and you let them have it as well. And those are the moments when this ownership mentality comes. Because we just look at it as a struggle of the will. It's my will against his will or her will. Our children, as they get older, they develop these wills, and they want to do their own thing, and things contrary to what it is that we're telling them that they ought to do. And there becomes this battle of the wills, and how am I going to bring that will of the child under my own. And that can lead us away from faithfully parenting as we should in those moments, because our viewpoint is wrong in those moments. We see them from an ownership perspective. But that can also happen in another way. Sometimes in our parenting, we simply respond to the parenting that we had in our own lives. Maybe some of us had really harsh parents, and so we respond to that by being permissive parents because we don't want to be harsh like that. Or we had permissive parents, and we don't want to parent like that, so we respond by being exceptionally harsh in our parenting. And there's this pendulum swing that's going on in our parenting instead of looking at what God says in His Word. Because we don't own these children, they are His. Notice Solomon's not doing any of that here. He's not looking at his son from an ownership perspective. He's not looking at his son simply from the perspective of what his father did. Notice in the beginning of Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Even there, right at the beginning, Solomon is acknowledging that he had a father who taught and instructed him. And now Solomon is going to teach and instruct his son in the way of wisdom. And Solomon's wisdom here is not his own. Remember the life of Solomon. Where did his wisdom come from? It came from God when he prayed for it. Remember at the beginning of his kingship, and God came to him and said, ask anything that you want and I'll give it to you as you now begin ruling this people. And Solomon sees the greatness of the people. What does he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And the Lord gave him that wisdom, not only to rule over the people, but also the wisdom that he needed to be a parent. So he's not reacting to his own father's instruction. He's not reacting to his own parents. He's not thinking about himself and what he wants. That's not what he's saying here when he says, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. It's not about me, but Solomon understands that it's about God. So that's the encouragement for us today, not an ownership perspective of our children, but understand instead that when Solomon says, my son, he's viewing his son from a stewardship and ambassador perspective. And I'll look at those two terms in a moment, but understand and know that those two terms, stewardship and ambassador, are tied to the truth of God's covenant. Solomon has a covenant perspective when he teaches his son. And that's the perspective that we are to have as parents as well. We talk about stewardship or being an ambassador. These are biblical words that are applied to parenting that are rooted in the truth of God's covenant. Remember just a few of the basics of God's covenant. God's covenant is a relationship of love and fellowship. It's a relationship of love that he establishes with his people. He brings them into a relationship in which he loves them and they learn to love him. It's the relationship between father and children. It's a relationship between a husband and his bride. That's the idea of the covenant, a relationship of love and fellowship. And in this covenant, God saves his people to have this relationship with himself. And he saves his people in the line of generations. It's not the only way he saves his people. He does bring his people out of the darkness of sin. They may have in their generations sin and ungodliness, but God brings them out. But he also saves in the line of generations within the church. That's what we read in the baptism form this morning. That's the clear teaching of a passage like Genesis 17, verse 7, and Acts 2, verse 39. God promises to save in the generations. And thus we sang in 359, a versification of Psalm 127, lo, children are a great reward, a gift from God in very truth. Children are a gift. Because God is pleased to save in the line of generations. Now, that doesn't mean that if God doesn't give the gift of children or a child, that God is not blessing someone. But we do see the gift of children, but from a covenant perspective, not for what I get out of it. God is pleased to save in the line of generations. And it's Jehovah God who saves these children. He redeems them. He makes them Christ-like. And he is the one who takes his children to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean all are saved within the church. I don't mean to imply that or say that in any way. But where God saves children, of course, it is all his work. But this also means that this same God is pleased to use parents as instruments in his hand to accomplish his purpose perceiving his children in the line of generations. In other words, as parents, we don't save our children. We are used as means to teach them and instruct them. We're used to teach them about their sin. We're used to teach them about their need for Christ. We're used to teach them about Christ himself and his work on the cross. And we're used to teach our children about the work of the Holy Spirit changing them. And we're used to teach them about heaven and they're going to heaven as well. But the Holy Spirit uses us as parents to be means in this. And so we know it's our great calling, as Jake and Janelle answered this morning. We know it to be our great calling to teach and instruct our children to be Christ-like and to discipline them as well. But this is the God-ordained way of parenting. He saves sovereignly, graciously, and powerfully, and he uses parents as a means to accomplish this purpose. What does that mean for us then as parents in relationship to our children? It means that we're stewards and ambassadors. Remember the whole concept of stewardship in the Bible. We usually think of stewardship when it comes to money. And the idea is that all that I have comes from God. It's all his. My bank accounts, my house, everything I have, it's all his. And as a steward, I am to use what God has given in the service of him because it all belongs to him. None of it belongs to me. Well, we apply stewardship this morning to children. This is what destroys the whole ownership idea. These children are not our own. We're very aware of this fact, and especially when you get a little older like myself. You only have them for a little while. We teach them and instruct them, and then, according to God's will, they have their own home, their own marriages, their own children, and they teach another generation as well. And that cycle repeats itself. We only have them for a little while, and even from the perspective of heaven and earth, we only have them for a little while. They're his children. And thus we have to answer to him for everything that we do in the small moments and the bigger moments as well. One who beautifully understood that in the Old Testament was Hannah. The young people remember that Professor Huizenga spoke on Hannah in one of his speeches at the convention. But what a beautiful example of understanding stewardship. That this child, Samuel, that was given to her, and she prayed for that child, and he was given to her, and what did she do? At a very young age, 3 or 4 years old, she brings him to the tabernacle, drops him off there, only sees him once a year when they go to the tabernacle and worship. She dedicated Samuel to the service of the Lord. She was content to give him over to the work of the Lord. He's not mine, was what Hannah was saying. She belongs to the Lord. And that's what we need to understand in our lives as well. These children are not our own. That's what Solomon understands when he says, my son. That's what we understand even with the sacrament of baptism this morning. The bigger picture. The bigger picture. We even read and heard in the prayer this morning about baptism being a picture of adoption. So with the gift of children, we remember a bigger picture that we're all part of the family of God, and the children that we have as well are part of the family of God. And so we teach them how to live under their Father, their Heavenly Father, and how they are to submit to the will of God in their lives. And so all the moments of our parenting, may we remember this, and especially in the difficult moments of our parenting, and then use the tools that God has given to us. Solomon speaks of that here. He speaks of instruction and the law Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. And even though it speaks there, the law of thy mother, the law of the mother, for the home really is based on the law of God and the word of God. And so what Solomon is saying here to his son is, hear the instruction we give. And instruction includes discipline. When we discipline along with the teaching, hear that, follow that, because in the end, we're bringing to you the wisdom and the truth of God for how you are to live your life. And so we as parents are reminded, use the tools God has given. Use the word of God. Use discipline and teach and instruct in the mercy and the kindness of God. But children and young people, there's a word for you a minute as well. Hear what this is saying. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. This is the word of God to you this morning. Are you listening, children and young people? Listen. Hear the instruction of mom and dad. Don't say no. When they're going to discipline you, don't run away. Don't scream and yell and kick. No. Hear it. Receive it. Listen to it. Because God has placed these parents in your life to teach and instruct you in the way that you are to go. So that's our perspective of parenting. Stewardship and then being ambassador. An ambassador is one who speaks for the king. Speaks for the king. That's what we do as parents. We speak for the king who is God himself. So that's the relationships. Now in our parenting, we also need to see the big picture of the goal of our parenting. As Solomon begins instructing his son, what's the goal of his parenting? And that's what we read in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there are a few things that are set before us here. We have the fear of the Lord, and then there's knowledge and wisdom, and part of that is instruction. But knowledge, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, and we want to see the relationship between these three things this morning. But when Solomon, we're going to start with the fear of the Lord. And when Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, what he is saying in that word beginning is that the fear of the Lord is the principal thing. It's the main thing. It's the focus. It's the goal of our parenting. The goal of our parenting is the fear of the Lord. Here's big picture again. Even in the small moments of our parenting, the big picture must not be lost. The fear of the Lord, not the fear of dad, not the fear of mom, but the fear of the Lord. That's the principal thing. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is a unique fear. It's not the fear of terror, running, hiding, or seeking cover. You think of the people who maybe this past week in our area heard tornado sirens and heard the warnings about a tornado, and they sought cover immediately because they were afraid. I remember talking to people who were in the Hudsonville tornado years ago, and they have a fear to this day of tornadoes because they lived through it. They heard the sound of it. They knew what it was like to have a home taken off its foundation right above their heads, and they knew fear in that moment. That's not the fear of the Lord. There's an aspect of that, but not in that same way. But the fear that we're talking about here is a fear that includes love. The knowledge of the love of God as our Father. The idea here is that in this fear of the Lord, we're drawn to the Lord because of His great love for us. And so we're not running from Him in terror. Although we understand and know disappointment when we walk in sin, and even anger that He would have over our sin, still we know the greatness of His love, and that fear and love are not in tension at all. This fear is what happens in our hearts when we stand before God. Part of this fear is being in awe of God. Therefore, it's the response of falling down and bowing down and worshiping God. It's the fear of the Lord that is mingled in our hearts with the love for God and a reverence for God and an awe of God. So in the end, the fear of the Lord is a reverence that leads to worship. To narrow it down, the fear of the Lord as we teach our children is that we want to teach them to be worshipers of the one true and living God. That's the main thing in our parenting. Teach our children to be worshipers of the one true and living God. Why? Because of who He is. He's Jehovah. He's the I am that I am. There's no one like Him. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's eternal. He's unchanging. He's holy. And this Jehovah is a God who loves His people. He fellowships with His people. He draws His people to Himself. But that's exactly where the awe is. It's not just the awe of seeing the destruction of a tornado or the destruction of winds and a storm. It's not just the awe of the power of God that He could speak and it was done. He created all things out of nothing. It's not just that. It's the awe of a God who loves us. Us, me, you. How amazing that is. We don't deserve that love even for a moment. And yet He has chosen from all eternity to love us. And He so loved us that He gave His Son. And in giving His Son, He's faithful in that love and unchanging in that love. He loves us in this life and in the life to come. He continues to say to us, I love you. Those very words ought to work in us an awe and a reverence for Him. And so this is the very heart of what we teach our children. This is the goal of what we teach our children. The fear of the Lord. Not to fear us, but to fear Him. This means that we must teach our children then not to fear other people and certainly not to fear themselves. You might say, fear themselves? Well, they have selfish natures like we do. And that's so easily what we do. I'm going my own way. I want to do my own thing. I don't feel like it. Mom says to do something, I don't feel like it. No, they're not to serve themselves. And so also they're not to live in the fear of others, to please other people. That's not to be the focus of their lives, and we'll come back to that as well. These are idols that they must contend with. No, we want to teach them to be worshipers of the one true and living God. We want to teach them that everything in life is a matter of worship, and God is worthy of worship. So let's get back, if we've lost it, let's get back to the main thing, the fear of the Lord. Now that fear of the Lord is connected to knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge. I'm just going to look at these two concepts briefly here this morning, but Solomon, when he talks about knowledge, is talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, and the knowledge of this world, and how all of that fits together. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, and the knowledge of this world. The knowledge that Solomon speaks of is the knowledge of God. Who is He? What is He like? What does He do? And what's His relationship to me? And what's His relationship to this world in which I live? That's part of knowledge. Along with that, this knowledge is a knowledge of this world. Where did this world come from? Where is it going? What is God doing in this world? We went on to have a right view of this world. And then finally, this is a knowledge of ourselves as well. Who am I? Who am I in relationship to God? Who am I in relationship to this world? And what does my relationship to God have to do with my relationship to this world? These are the things that we teach our children. The greatness of God. What is going on in this world of sin and darkness, and what we struggle with in ourselves, with our sinful flesh, but also who we are in relationship to God as God has saved us. And so we want to live to worship God. Knowledge is driven by this, the fear of the Lord. That's always the goal and the aim. So you as parents are constantly imparting knowledge to your children. When you're reading the Bible at home, when mom's reading Bible stories with the kids, but in many other things too. When dads are spending time with the boys, or dads spending time with the daughters, and mom's spending time with sons, and mom's spending time with daughters, and so on and so forth, there's always this imparting of knowledge, but never, never must we take God out of the picture. And then when we help our children through hard and difficult times, a brother's being mean to them, a friend's not nice to them at school, they're going through some kind of suffering in their life, we bring God into it. Who's God? What's he doing? What's he doing in your life? What's he doing in this world as well? Always with the goal that our children fear the Lord. But not only does Solomon speak of knowledge, but also wisdom. In verse 7, but fools despise wisdom instruction. The idea then is that the one who fears the Lord does not despise wisdom, but loves wisdom. Loves wisdom. You see, the purpose of knowledge that leads to the fear of the Lord is a life of wisdom. What's wisdom? Well, wisdom is the ability to take the truth of God's word and the commands of God's word and apply them to the situations we face in life so that we choose or walk in the right way. It's life lived out of God's word. How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do in this instance or in this situation? That's wisdom. Wisdom is the application of biblical truth to life. And this wisdom is the fruit of knowledge and the fruit of the fear of the Lord. When I fear God, when I want to worship God, then I'm focused on that in my life. How do I apply that to what I'm facing right now in my life? See, God has not given commands for every situation we face in our life. I mean a direct command. That doesn't mean his word doesn't apply. But there are many instances we face where we have to wrestle with what's right. What's right for me before God in this situation that I face? As parents, when we teach our children the fear of the Lord based on knowledge, we're also imparting to our children wisdom. That's what Solomon is doing here in the book of Proverbs. He's imparting to his son wisdom to the many different aspects of his life. And that's why I said earlier, that's what we're going to do in this series. We're now going to look at different aspects of life that Solomon is addressing here in the book of Proverbs so that we can learn to address these very things with our children. And then teach our children, this is the way of wisdom according to God. If you don't walk in that way, you're going to walk in the way of folly. To be foolish before God is to be under the wrath of God. So do not continue in the way of folly. And that's what Solomon is constantly warning of. Don't walk in folly. Walk in the way of wisdom. And so that's our parenting. Fear of the Lord. Teaching our children knowledge who God is and who we are in relationship to him. And that leads to wisdom as they live their lives in this world. Now finally, the text ends with an encouragement. An encouragement to us as parents. It says in verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So this is what Solomon is saying to his son. Son, you walk in the way of wisdom, you fear the Lord, this is what's true. They, receiving instruction, forsaking not the law of thy mother, those things shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. What he's saying to his son is, son, you're going to be beautiful, handsome, when you walk in the way of godliness. You will be adorned with the highest beauty. And he uses figures here to describe that. He talks about a crown on the head and chains about thy neck. And so the idea here is an ornament of grace or a beautiful crown and then these beautiful chains around the neck. He's talking here about the adornment of beauty. What is it that makes a child, a son, a daughter beautiful? And what Solomon says is it has nothing to do with their physical appearance. It has nothing to do with their success in the world. It has nothing to do with athletic ability. It has nothing to do with musical ability. It has nothing to do with the grades that you get in school. Now, I'm not saying that those things are completely unimportant. There are gifts that God gives, mental abilities, musical abilities, athletic abilities, and many other abilities besides, and we are to develop those abilities, but sometimes those abilities turn into the main thing, and we lose sight of the main thing because those things become the main thing. And Solomon's not saying that that's the beauty of a child, of a son or a daughter, but it's something else. What makes a child beautiful? That they obey the law of God because they fear God. That they reflect Jesus Christ in their lives because they love Him. Parents, do your children know that that's the most important thing for you and for them? Or are we focused on the wrong things? Are we sending the wrong messages with our priorities in life? Or are we showing them by our example and by our words that the most important thing is that they fear the Lord and walk in His ways? The great danger in our lives is that we're focused on the wrong things. We're majoring in minors. But as parents, we're brought back by this word of God and taught, no, this is the main thing. And when our children exhibit this fear of the Lord in their lives and wisdom in their lives, there's no greater joy. We have that in the New Testament. There's no greater joy than to know that our children walk in truth. That ought to be our great joy, and if that's our great joy, then that's the focus of our instruction. So may this word encourage us this morning to instruct our children in the fear of God, teach them the greatness of God, speak to them about this, discipline them where they walk in disobedience, and continue to exemplify in our own lives that what's the most important for us too is that we fear the Lord and we worship God in everything we do. And then think about the small moments. That's the focus. That's the big picture. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, strengthen those of us who are parents to teach our children knowledge and wisdom that's rooted in the fear of Thee, our God, where we view our children from an ownership perspective. Forgive that in us and help us to view them from the covenant perspective that they belong to Thee and we have to answer to Thee for everything that we do with them. And so give us strength to be faithful in our callings day by day. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy word that addresses this. We pray now that Thou will grant us strength to live it by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Forgive, O Lord, our sins. Bless us in our fellowship in this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.